Translation by Srila Prabhupada.
In the beginning of creation, I'll read it once. In the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods, along with sacrifices for Vishnu, and blessed them by saying, "Be thou happy by this yajna sacrifice, because its performance will bestow upon you all desirable things." Again. In the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods, along with sacrifices for Vishnu, and blessed them by saying, "Be thou happy by this yajna sacrifice, because its performance will bestow upon you all desirable things." Report. The material creation by the Lord of creatures, Vishnu, is a chance offered to the conditioned souls to come back home, back to Godhead. All living entities within the material creation are conditioned by material nature because of their forgetfulness of their relationship to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, here's the purpose of material creation. There are actually two functions. Creation means a cyclical happening. It is not that there was no existence and then there was creation. But creation, maintenance, and annihilation is eternal. Of the different subject matters of the Bhagavad Gita, one of them is this nature. And this, the Bhagavad Gita comprises a subject matter of God, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entity, Jiva, the nature, meaning this material, these material worlds, time, and karma. And nature is one of the eternal. Nature is eternal. So, superficially, we think, well, how is this? Because we know just the opposite, that everything in the material world wears down and has an end. Yes, but after that end, then there's another beginning of the material world. It ends just like our own journey from body to body through the species of life. That is happening eternally. You take another body. For whoever is born, death is certain. But for whoever is dies, birth is certain. This eternal, recurring again and again. So, not only the living entities, but the whole universes, there are many, many universes. So they last for a certain period of time. That time is coincidental with the lifetime of Brahma, the first created being. And that is the length of time of one breathing of Mahavishnu. So, when everything is wrapped up, it's not very auspicious for the jivas. Because, either way you look at it, from their point of view, materially, they're not able to be active. So they're not very happy not to be active, even in their nonsense. So it's mercy when, again, Krishna lets them be active. And when they're wound up means that when there is annihilation, either at the end of Brahma's day or at the end of Brahma's life, especially at the end of Brahma's life, everything is like a curtain comes down and the play is over. And everything is merged into the body of Vishnu for a long, long time, millions and millions and millions of years. So the living beings are inactive unnaturally for all that time. It's like sleep. So it says, material creation by the Lord of creatures is a chance offered to the conditioned souls to come back home, back to God. So the chance is that they can again begin their cycle of birth and death with the chance of coming again to the human form of life. And then, as this verse states, the specialty of the human form of life is that with it is the possibility to perform jagya and to become purified and to realize God and to go back to the eternal world with the personality of Godhead. This is the chance of human life. So both these functions mean that it is Krishna's mercy when he again starts creation. The Vedic principles are to help us understand this eternal relation as it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Vedaischa Saravir Ahameva Vedya. The Lord says that the purpose of the Vedas is to understand Him. In the Vedic hymns it is said, Patim Vishvas Yatmesh Varam. Therefore the Lord of the living entities is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. In the Srimad Bhagavatam also, Srila Shukadeva Goswami describes the Lord as Pati in so many ways. Shriya Patir, Yajna Pati, Prajapati, Dhiyam Patir, Loka Patir, Dhara Pati, Patir Gatish Chandaka Vishni Satvatam, Prashidatam Me Bhagavan Satam Pati. The Prajapati is Lord Vishnu. And he is the Lord of all living creatures, all worlds, and all beauties, and the protector of everyone. The Lord created this material world for the conditioned souls to learn how to perform yajñas, sacrifice for the satisfaction of Vishnu, so that while in the material world, they can live very comfortably without anxiety. Then, after finishing the present material body, they can enter into the kingdom of God. That is a whole program for the conditioned soul. By performance of yajna, the conditioned souls gradually become Krishna conscious and become godly in all respects. In this age of Kali, the Sankirtan yajna, the chanting of the names of God, is recommended by the Vedic scriptures. And this transcendental system was introduced by Lord Chaitanya for the deliverance of all men in this age. Sankirtan yajna and Krishna consciousness go well together. Lord Krishna in his devotional form as Lord Chaitanya is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam as follows with special reference to the Sankirtan Yajna. Krishna Varnam Trisha Krishnam Sangopangastra Parsadam Yagnai Sankirtana Prayayar Yajantihi Sumedhasa. In this age of Kali, people who are endowed with sufficient intelligence will worship the Lord who is accompanied by his associates by performance of Sankirtan Yajna. Other yajñas prescribed in the Vedic literatures are not easy to perform in this age of Kali, but the Sankirtan yajña is easy and sublime for all purposes. So, this verse describes the system of sacrifice and also describes Lord Vishnu, how he sends forth all the creatures, how he is the giver of the yajna process, and he's also the goal of this sacrifice. So here this nice verse spoken by Shukadeva Goswami describes Krishna as Pati. Pati means father. So let us look at it as far as we can. Shriya Pati, Shriya means beauty. Everything, of course, Janmadya Sataha, everything is coming from Krishna. He is the seed-giving father. He is the Sarvakarana Karanam. He is the cause of everything, cause of all causes. So he's also the Lord. And any a beauty that we find in the material world is due to Krishna. Then, Jagyapati, that is being described specifically here, that he is the Lord of sacrifice. Sacrifice is meant, like we in the previous verse, yagnartha, kamano yatra, loko yam karma bandana, tadartam karma kontaya, mukta sangha samachara. Yajna work has to be done for Krishna. Yajna doesn't mean just a fire ceremony, or like they did in the former ages, offer tons of grain and tons of clarified butter. In the first canto, Srila Prabhupada writes one purport, and he says, yajna should be performed not just with grains and clarified butter, but with things like with iron and all the products of industry, with using all the modern technology, and by one's hard work, sacrifice to the Lord should be done with not just in a religious priestly ceremony, but everything that you do, yat karoshi yadashnasi, yat yahosi dadasi, yat tadkuru, tapasya kunteya, tadkuru shramadarpanam. Everything that you do, everything that you eat, everything that you offer, give away, should be done as sacrifice for Krishna. So he's called yajna. He's the object of all endeavor. This is proper. Of course, he is not for the atheistic class. They are not offering to Krishna, not to Krishna. But that is the rightful situation. Money spent not on Krishna is punishable. Sex life enjoyed without Krishna is punishable. The material nature is punishing. Anything undertaken without religious principles is against the natural law, and is punishable individually and collectively by the law of karma. So he's Jagyapati, and he's Prajapati. Praja means living beings. Just like in this city, there are so many citizens, and so the idea of the government, the police, and the so-called overseers and guides are responsible for the prajas, or the living entities in that city or state. The king in Vedic times, he was responsible for all the citizens. And he was able to take care of them. So that is certainly true for Krishna. He's not just the father of all the humans, but of all the persons who live in that place, that land, including the animals. So if people would live according to the Isavasya idam sarvam yat kincha jagat yam jagat jena chak jena bunjita, he is maintaining. He's Isavasya. He's the Lord of everything, and he's giving everything to each living entity. It's stated nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitanam eko bahunam yovidadati kaman. All the living entities or prajas, they are all spirit souls, as the Lord is. They're all persons, as the Lord is a person. But he is the one person or father who is feeding everyone. He's feeding all the animals in the jungle, and he's feeding everyone in the cities if they will perform sacrifice. Another very important verse for sacrifice is stated later here, this chapter. Anad bhavanti bhutani parjanyarana sambhavad yagna bhavati parjanyo yagna karma samudbhava. The grains which everyone needs to live on, bhutanam, anad bhavanti bhutanam, all the living beings need to eat. Even if you're a meat eater, you have to subsist on grains, because the cow that you eat eats grains. So you have to eat grains. And how are the grains manufactured? By rain. And how is rain manufactured? Yagna bhavati parjanyo, by sacrifice. And sacrifice is born out of prescribed duties. One is supposed to perform regular sacrifice to the Lord. This sacrifice has been neglected, but our point is that Krishna is actually the Prajapati. He's prepared through the material nature to supply all the fruits and all the vegetables and all the grains that anybody needs, whether he's an elephant or a human being. The human beings are starving now in different places of the world, not because the Lord is faulty, but there's mismanagement. In our country, we throw away tons of grains for economic reasons, whereas in another part of the world, like India and Africa, people starve for not having this. So the earth is producing enough, but man, unlike the animals, is committing so many inhuman acts so that it appears that the earth is withholding. And actually that will happen more and more. That it is not impersonal or accidental. By jagya, the rain is making the grains come. So by lack of jagya, the jagyapati, he will withhold grains from the praja, from the living entities. He'll punish them. And there will not be, so in Kali Yuga it will come about, there will not be proper food, there will not be rain, more and more. But he is meant to be the protector of all the living beings. If they will only follow him, and then life can be very easily prosecuted, not with so much hard endeavor and industries like they're doing now. They're not recognizing Krishna. Then, diyam patiya. What does that mean? Oh. Meditation. Yeah. Like yam yam pranayama, dhyana, something like. So, meditation. The Prajapati is Lord Vishnu, and he is Lord of all living creatures, all worlds and all beauties, and the protector of everyone. So certainly meditation is meant for realizing Krishna. That we'll read in the 6th chapter. Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji imam namaskaru. Always think of me. That is real meditation. Lokapatir, sarvaloka. He's the lord of all the planets and all the demigods. Dhara pati. What does that mean? Dara. You mean charity? I don't know. Dara pati. Patir gatis. Gatis means goal. It's like mami parta vyapasita yapisu papayonio striyo vaishas tatal sudras tepi yanti param gatim. Those persons, even if they're low-born, if they take surrender to Krishna, they can reach the supreme goal. So the supreme, he's the goal. Krishna is the goal of everything that you're looking for. He's the end. He's that which we're trying to reach in birth after birth for our ultimate satisfaction. Chandaka Vishni Sat. Vatam prasidatam me bhagavan satam pati. So there's an estimation of, by analyzing different things, how Krishna is the Lord. So in this verse, and in these verses in the 3rd chapter, Krishna is well aware of the enjoying tendency that we have. And so he's prescribing for both things, as Prabhupada writes in his purport, they can live very comfortably without anxiety. Actually, it's not necessary when one is advanced to even eat or to sleep or to mate or to defend, like the 6 Goswamis, they gave up. But just like now, our Krishna consciousness movement, we also live comfortably without anxiety. But even the austerity that we are performing, so many people make a big hue and cry that, oh, this Krishna consciousness movement is a terrible movement, terrible cult. They're not eating meat. They're not having illicit sex. This should be stopped. They are depriving their members of so many things. They're sleeping on the floor. They're not sleeping in a big bed. They're not going to the movies and reading nonsense books and magazines. They're following their spiritual master. This is not good. Whatever austerity we do is not very stringent compared to, say, the six Goswamis. They did not live in a temple, or they did not take very much prasadam. They did not take hardly any sleep, 1.5 hours a day. And Raghunath Das Goswami, he was just every other day eating just a little butter. We're not supposed to imitate that, but it is an example. The example is that actually the spirit soul doesn't need any material maintenance. He doesn't need to eat, he doesn't need to sleep, he doesn't need to mate, he doesn't need to defend. Just as we're at least proving in our neophyte stage that you don't need to smoke, you don't need to eat meat, you won't die without these things. You won't even be, you won't miss them. Rather, after becoming purified, you wouldn't want to do these things again. Like the prayer by Jamunacharya, when I think of sex life now, as I used to perform, I spit on it. Or that's Kulak Shekhar's prayer. These things are not needed. They just come about by bad association, just like the baby doesn't naturally crave cigarettes. They're thinking, how can you people give up cigarettes? Or how can you give up liquor? But a baby is not, babies don't take to these things. They take to milk. They want their mother's milk right away. But they only, a living being, he starts to smoke and drink just by some association. So by that bad association, so then by good association, you can give these things up. But these advanced devotees, like the six Goswamis, they show us that we don't need these things at all. But if you preach that, that would be impossible. That you don't, we don't have any building to live in. You live on the road, wear just a loincloth, come and join the Krishna consciousness movement. So the living beings, they have to be instructed gradually. Therefore, this sacrifice is mentioned. So he says, here, you be happy. Be happy with the jagya. You'll get all desirable things. So that if that means material things, they're really not desirable, but I desire them, or they're not needed, or they're not really auspicious, but I want them. So Krishna teaches, Jiva Goswami says that these different things, like sex life and marriage, or what to speak of, meat eating by Jagya Tukali, said they are actually a dharma. They're not religion. But by following the practice, the system of sacrifice, they become dharma. You can regulate them. So this is what this verse means. That the human beings in a civilized state, by following the Vedas, they were given a very nice chance to prosecute life without any difficulty. By performing things according to religious principles, sex life can become purified in marriage by raising progeny in Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna conscious persons, they don't engage in any kind of meat jagya or liquor jagya. But they do allow for nice eating by taking food offered to Krishna, prasadam, and it is not forbidden that you live with your family or that you work at an honest occupation. If you can give 50% of your income to Krishna, you can live with nice things. Prabhupada came to the West, and now he sees that somehow this is our position. We're having these things by second nature. We must have electricity, we must have this, we must have that. It's like when we go to India, sometimes devotees feel inconvenienced. So Prabhupada has built in Mayapur Western facilities where there are showers and toilets and nice lighting, and nice rooms. That new building is so big, you can hold 300 people on one floor, 300 people on the next floor, and not crowded. There's one or two people to a room for the guests. Guests means devotees. So the devotees are required this. But Prabhupada doesn't say, oh, this is Maya, you can't have this. But he says, just be comfortable and chant Hare Krishna. Our yajna is to just chant Hare Krishna. And if the Western person, he needs his fan when it is hot, or he needs his mosquito netting, and he needs a nice prasadam, a nice quarters, that's all right. It's not begrudging. But don't take more than you need. Take nice prasadam if you want. Live with your family. Do not engage, though, in illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. And this is not very hard. And chant Hare Krishna. This is the Harinam, 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 Eva Kevam. This is our program for today. Following the lines of this Bhagavad Gita verse, be thou happy by this yajna sacrifice, because its performance will bestow upon you all desirable things, even if you have material desires. Akarma sarva kama va moksha kama udara di ti raina bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Even if a person has no desires, or he has all material desires, or he wants liberation, he should surrender to Krishna and he'll get everything that he wants. Your material desires, Krishna will also take care of them. No one should be discouraged or argumentative against Krishna when he asks to surrender to him, because surrender is very possible even in this age by this nice Sankirtan yajna. Who can say, Prabhupada sometimes challenges us, who can say that this is too difficult? What do you find, what's the difficulty in becoming Krishna conscious? It's like when we preach, people who are interested in Krishna consciousness, you can ask them that question, that we're practicing Krishna consciousness. What is the difficulty for you? Why are you thinking that you can't be a Krishna conscious devotee? So he may think, well, I cannot do this. And you can explain. Why can't you chant Hare Krishna? Why can't you offer food, even in your own home? If you're not prepared so soon to move into the temple, then you can do these things. But you should associate with devotees. What's the difficulty? Why can't you become Krishna conscious? There is no difficulty. In the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods, along with sacrifices for Vishnu, and he blessed them by saying, be thou happy by this yajna sacrifice, because its performance will bestow upon you all desirable things.